All right, welcome back to Sports Central. One thing I've really always enjoyed on the show is letting you sports fans know how it works kind of on the other side of the business with sports media, reporters, broadcasters, how they got to where they are in their roles. The Altoona Curve have had a tremendous run of success with their broadcasters and then going on, those folks going on to having really good careers in the sports field. Rob Egan, the initial broadcaster, now the AAA general manager of the Charlotte minor league baseball team. Jason Dombach, a frequent guest on the show, a good friend, went on to become president and GM of minor league organizations. Some other broadcast, Dan Zangrilli is on the Pirates pregame and postgame. You'd be hard-pressed to find anyone more successful, though, than John Lazor. John Lazor was a Curve broadcaster. I got to find out the year. Lazor, what year were you here with the Curve?
How can you not remember, guys? Those were magic days, 2007.
It's a long time ago. That's a long time ago. John was here in 2007 with Jason Dombach, and now he is the voice of the Virginia Tech sports program. He's had a tremendous run. Great, great broadcaster, great voice. I want to welcome you to the show. I appreciate you taking a few minutes, man.
Absolutely, my man. It's great to be back with you.
What did you, when you came to Altoona in 2007 to be the second broadcaster, what did you know about Altoona? What did you think you would get out of your time here?
You know, honestly, at that time, I was just chasing the amount of A's in the franchise's title, right? I had spent the season before in short season A all the way out in Washington State, and I met with JD, Jason Dombach, at the winter meetings, which were in Orlando that winter, and he took me through their media program and, you know, showed me the ballpark, and it looked like an absolute palace and still does compared to where I was coming from and still compared to most parks in minor league baseball. And other than that, I did not know a lot. I knew it was in Pennsylvania. I knew it was about an hour and a half from Pittsburgh. And other than that, I didn't know much.
I got here 8 years earlier. I'd never heard of the city. Had you at least heard of Altoona when you came here?
No, I had not.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you for owning up to that. I didn't know. But, hey, you get here, you see the ballpark, and it's kind of a wow moment from a minor league perspective. But you spend the year here, did a phenomenal job. You'll be able, if you listen for the next 8 or 10 minutes, you can tell John is very bright, has a great broadcasting voice. You did a great job here. So then after you spend your year, you know, with the Curve, what happened in your career after that?
Yeah, well, first I'd say, you know, I grew so much in that year because I had done a number of seasons, like, you know, 4 or 5 at that point, but it was just broadcasting, right? Show up at the ballpark and call the game. And honestly, I thought that's all there was to it. If you were good enough at that, then you'd be in the big leagues one day. You know, and Jason and Parney, more than anyone, probably taught me how to work hard. And, you know, Parney wound up being a groomsman in my wedding, as did JD. So obviously I took a lot of lifelong things, lessons and friendships out of that. And, you know, the next step I took was going to the Myrtle Beach Pelicans because they had an opening and Chuck Greenberg was, I guess, impressed with what I had done in Altoona. So offered me that job. I went there for a year. I left that ownership group and moved back up to AA in a lead role with the Rays in Montgomery, Alabama, in 09, and then was fortunate because Parney left, of course, to go to Richmond, brought me there, and one thing led to another through VCU to get me here to Virginia Tech.
All right. Where are you from originally, John?
Well, originally I'm from Chicago, but moved pretty early at a young age and grew up for the most part just outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
All right. So this is one of the things that I really stress for people who maybe if they're listening and they want to be in the sports business or they want their kids to be in the sports business or their grandkids, the number one thing is you got to be willing to move. John is from Chicago, then by way of Minneapolis, came here from Washington, went down to South Carolina, then to Altoona in South Carolina, and then Virginia. So when I give people advice about this business, it pretty much always starts with you have to be willing to be mobile. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I continue to believe that. And, you know, as someone who had never even pondered the thought of living in the state of Virginia, I've now been here for 11 years from Richmond to Blacksburg. So that's absolutely right. And I think you have to have kind of an explorative type mind in order to make it in this business, save for the very few, and I do mean very few, that are lucky and good enough to get some sort of network gig right out of school. You know, talking about the Noah Eagles and maybe a couple of other guys in that category. Otherwise, yeah, you've got to be willing to relocate. And for me, it was 7 states in 7 years.
Oh, my goodness. John Lazor joining us, for lack of a better way to put it, to just put layman's term. John is the Steve Jones of Virginia Tech. That's at least something that our listeners can relate to. John handles everything at Virginia Tech. When did you get that position? And just how much have you grown, and how much have you enjoyed that role with the Hokies?
Yeah, I've loved it. It's been a dream opportunity, of course. I've had dual dreams, Corey, as you and I discussed many years ago. You know, first and 1A was getting to Major League Baseball. The other was to be the voice of a Power 5 institution for football and basketball. This was the realization of that for me kind of unexpectedly. I got this job back in the summer of 2015. So incredibly, I'm about to wrap up my 6th year here already. And that was after 13 years in minor league baseball. So I've grown clearly in the sports that I hadn't called a lot of, which was football and basketball, while I was focusing on baseball. But I think it also coincided with just growing up. You know, I got this job when I was 35, and my wife and I today just got back looking at potentially buying our first house, something that was unimaginable when we were in making minor league salaries together, and things like that. So, you know, I think naturally as you grow as a person, you grow in this type of role as well.
Now, that job that you have, because a lot of people aren't, they don't know exactly how all of this works. Steve Jones is not a full-time employee of Penn State. Steve Jones has to juggle a lot of different things, and he has never, unfortunately for him, because he's had just a remarkable run, he's never been a full-time employee of Penn State, which comes with it a great deal of benefits, folks. If you're a full-time employee of Penn State, your kids go there for 75% off and so on and so forth. How does it work with you, John? Are you a full-time employee of Virginia Tech? How does it work from a career development standpoint?
Yeah, what's interesting is I'm not actually employed by Virginia Tech, save for fractionally, which I'll get to in a second. I'm actually a full-time employee of Learfield IMG College, mm-hmm. which is the rights holder, the multimedia rights holder for Virginia Tech, and at this point, hundreds of other schools throughout the country. I was hired by IMG. They merged with Learfield. So it's kind of the best of both worlds for me, honestly, because I'd prefer not to necessarily work for the state. And it also gives me a little bit of arm's length in terms of being able to be a little more candid than if your office is right next to the head coach or the head basketball coach. So, you know, but then I also, with the advent of the ACC network, I now work for Virginia Tech in a contractor status where I do baseball and some women's basketball for them. And then I have various endorsements that are paid by both. So my primary income comes from Learfield IMG.
All right. So once again, folks, I've gotten to know a lot of broadcasters from the Altoona Curve over the years, and just a great, great group. Mike Passanisi is working in the major leagues in a PR role. A good friend of mine, Trey Wilson, is now, he left Altoona, now he's down in his home state of Virginia calling the Flying Squirrels. You guys, I mean, it's pretty damn remarkable the success that Altoona Curve broadcasters have had. John, because you were in the minor leagues, I think you said 13 years. Franchises can't necessarily go 7 or 8 deep like that with broadcasters. Why do you think there's been so much success with Curve guys?
Well, I think it's because it's a lot like a coaching tree in terms of who they brought in, but then also how they were developed. Like I said, I was fortunate enough to get hired by Jason Dombach back in 2006, who I had never met before. And now I consider one of my, you know, best friends, not just in the industry, but in life as a whole. And I think that just continued on. And then when you come in and you were around that Parney aura, and I actually should say it started with Rob Egan, who you mentioned, who was the predecessor to JD. So when you're bringing in the right people to begin with, and then you're also developing them and kind of teaching them how the business works and how the industry works, it gives them a lot better chance at success. And in my case, that was direct opportunities. Same with Trey. You know, he's down in my old chair in Richmond. And so just on it goes. Pawtucket's a lot like that, too.
John Lazor joining us. Last thing for you, you have what a lot of broadcasters would consider a great job. You're the voice, football and basketball, for a Power 5 program. But you're still a young man, and you're talking about buying a house. What's the goal? Can you see yourself being the voice of the Hokies for 30 years? Is there another move? What do you think the future holds?
I think I've gotten smart enough in the business, Corey, to not even worry about it. I had no aspiration to be the voice of Virginia Tech at any point in my life. I knew of Michael Vick, and that was about it, Frank Beamer. And then, lo and behold, the connections I make in Richmond lead me here. The business and industry have changed so much, even in the last 5 years, that being a network television guy may have been a goal at one point, and right now I don't think I would want to do that. I still would like to get to Major League Baseball, and I think, honestly, I've had a few opportunities in the NFL, but it hasn't been both sports. So I think some sort of combination of those. I definitely want to continue calling more than one sport, though.
Well, we've had great broadcasters here. I think anybody that's truly honest, even with all the successful people that I've just mentioned, would say that John Lazor is the best broadcaster we've ever had here in terms of calling the games, your style, voice delivery. I mean, John
is telling Dombach you said that.
Hey, I love Dombach because he would joke around. I always remember JD ordered a pretzel on the air during a doubleheader at Bowie. I like that because minor league baseball, you can't be a billion percent serious. I mean, you got to have.
Can I tell you my favorite JD story?
Please tell me. Yes. Can I use this against him at all?
No, I think it's going to gain you respect points.
All right.
So JD is not what I would call a big partier or big socializer. He's more than willing to have a good time. But one day he lost his voice. we got to the point where he's like, Lays, you're going to have to just take the whole thing. And I was like, okay, as a young guy, that's great. And he goes, I got one last thing I'm going to try. And if you remember, we had that bar that was outside of the press box.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they still do. He goes out and he orders a shot. I think it was a scotch. Just throws it back. Magically, his voice is healed. He's back on the air 20 minutes later. And I'm like, damn, man, I'm going to try that later on in my career. He's like, well, don't do it too often. you'll get a reputation. Then, of course, that year we had Paul Steigerwald. He was coming down occasionally, not as much as he did during the NHL lockout, but when he had a free weekend or whatever. So I learned a ton from him too, and the tales that the four of us, me, JD, Parney, and him could tell, probably not suitable for air.
That adds another layer to the legend, the curve having Paul Steigerwald come down. But again, John Lazor, probably the best we've ever had here. No surprise that you've gone on to have a tremendous career. And again, the number one thing in all of this is you got to be willing to move. You got to be willing to uproot some things. Congratulations to you, buddy. You have had a tremendous, tremendous run. And I say this for anybody that knows anything about Curve Baseball. Good for you. Job well done. We're real proud of you here.
Thanks, my friend. I can't say how good it was being back with you, and hope everybody in Altoona is doing great.
I appreciate it, John. Thanks so much.
You too.